reason God's greatness is relevant to us is because we can trust him. If he's not great, don't trust him. But if he's great, if he has all power, if he's filled with love, if he can solve every problem, if he can meet every need, then we're safe trusting in him. When I trust somebody, I turn it over to him. My child, I can't fix this. I can't solve this. So I have to, Lord, would you take this? Would you fix this? That's trust. I don't have the money. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, you're great. Would you take this? And I feel like today is just a day for us to remember the greatness of God and then really commit things to him. Whatever's going on in our life, whatever hurts, whatever's got you jumpy, it's time to slide it over to him because his greatness can handle it. Will you pray with me and just whatever your burden is, whatever your need is, if you're sick in your body, you're worried about a decision, you're trying to get something right, you don't know how to do it, would you be willing to slide it over onto him and trust him and let him do it for you? Father, we just come before you today with our anxieties, our concerns, our needs, decisions that we have to make, burdens that we're bearing. And Lord, in this atmosphere of your greatness, we feel comfortable trusting you. We remember how great and awesome you are. You're powerful. You can heal, you can deliver, you can provide, you can guide us, you can help us make every decision. You'll get us right where we need to be. So we turn it over to you right now. We commit it to you, we give it to you, and we're grateful that you can handle it. You can deliver us from every addiction. You can free us from every sin. Lord, we thank you. We give you our past, present, and future. And we say we trust you because you are so great and awesome. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for being concerned and loving us and numbering the very hairs on our head. Thank you that you're watching over us, Lord, to help us and strengthen us through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we go into your word, Lord, today, I pray, speak prophetically to every heart. Lord, those listening online, those that have gathered here, would you speak, Lord, and all across our campuses, as the word is preached, let your goodness touch the hearts of people. Let us leave encouraged and strengthened, we pray, in Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Would you join me in telling the worship team? They did an outstanding job today. Appreciate those guys. Be seated, everyone. Lots of great things are happening. I loved Pastor Jordan's report, and I really can't add much to it. We had nearly 250 people at the grand opening of Gateway Phoenix Gilbert, and everybody was just lit. It was electric. Your prayers, your giving, it was remarkable. That service was fire, and they're off to a really good, and I can't wait to hear the reports of that are coming in as well from the other campuses. God is doing great things. You know, we have a team. This church is not about one person. This church is about a team of people. That's the only way we could have people this morning gathering in Santa Rosa, California, Modesto, California, Clovis, California, right here in San Jose. People of every age and every color gathering together, enjoying worship, enjoying technology, leading people to Christ. It only happens through a team. And I just have to say, I'm so blessed by the team that makes it all happen. I'm really, really grateful. Let me take just a minute before I get into the message. You can grab your teaching outline and have it ready, but let me take 2-3 minutes to talk through a couple of family issues, some things that are going on right now that I want you to know about, you need to know about. First of all, we are renovating, facelifting, refreshing the bathrooms. That demolition process is going to start today. We've been planning this for quite some time, and we've tried to come at it from a number of different directions, backing up the truck and trying it in a different direction. We've got this down to a very cost-effective manner. So for the next probably 6 weeks, you'll see that half of our bathrooms, we have four bathrooms, two for the men and two for the women right here in the core of the building. Only one of each will be open over the next few weeks, and then we switch and we'll renovate and refresh the others. The result will be updated, beautiful bathrooms, and that's going to, so please excuse our dust, and I want to thank John Etheridge and everybody that's helping with that effort to make that smooth. Also, our website, we've kind of rolled out some new look and feel on our website and here on the campus, our signs, etc. I think it looks really beautiful. The website is being updated now, rebuilt, and now that we're in five locations, the whole thing had to be completely renovated. So it's not quite where it's going to be, but soon it will be. In the meantime, all your online giving functionalities and everything else should be there for you. Just go to the website as usual and watch for a refreshing there. I also want to really thank each of you for giving. It was just about maybe 5-6 weeks ago that we had these awful Paradise fires. Remember that? And so many people hurting, and you guys jumped in with over $20,000 of fire relief giving. And Pastor Carol Cohen and Catherine Kong, Pastor Carol's our women's pastor and our executive director of Gateway Community Outreach, she and Catherine, who work together in GCO, they are in Paradise today with a team delivering the final $12,000 to people that are in need. There's a church that was burned to the ground, but they're still in business, going stronger than ever, and they are coordinating and helping us get the money to the right needs. So thank you for that. Your faith and your good works is making a difference. You're inspiring people to love and serve the Lord. Really excited about that, as well as everything that's going on in Gilbert. And if your question this morning would be, okay, what's next? What's the next exciting project? What's our next exciting outreach? How can we reach more people? How can we do more for the Lord? Here's my answer. In the month of April, we're going to have the largest outreach that we've ever had. Not only is Resurrection Weekend the largest outreach that we have as a church, it's the holiest holiday weekend for believers because we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we turn that into a giant outreach on all the campuses, and we go for it. We go for souls. I have a number. I'm not going to share it with you yet. I'm going to check with our campus pastors to make sure, but I have a goal for a certain number of hands to go up, decisions for the Lord, as we bring our family and friends to Resurrection Weekend and lead them to Christ. I'm believing they're all going to be baptized. I'm believing they're all going to be sitting right next to you. And because people will come to church on Resurrection Weekend, they will come if we invite them, bring them. And so we're gearing up and getting ready for a tremendous weekend. It goes like this. Good Friday, which I think, is that the 19th? I don't have the date in front of me. April 19th, or is it the 18th? Whatever that Friday is Good Friday. And we're going to have the greatest Good Friday service that we've ever done. We're pulling out all the stops. We have our best people on this service. And we're going to do choir. We're going to do an intergenerational, that means any age choir. So if you're a singer, I need you in that choir because there's something's going to happen in that Good Friday service. Then three services on Resurrection Sunday morning. We're going to go boom, boom, boom. We're going to get them in. We're going to get them out. Hands are going to go up at the end. We're going to lead people to Jesus, all right? And that's what's going to happen. That's how we're going to spend our resurrection. So now I want you on the team. There's a place for you on the team for reaching souls, and that would be in the choir. These are openings for you to help. In the choir, whatever your age is, if you can sing, even if you can almost sing, we have special faders and knobs and effects processors, and we can smooth it out, all right? And the music is so powerful. And Julie Goodall, she does a tremendous job. So that's, you could join the choir, you could usher, you could greet, you could work in the parking lot, and join Team Gateway by just helping, because hundreds and hundreds of people, this will be our This will be the big crowd of the year. Last year, we had over 1,800 people that we reached. So what that does to traffic and everything else, we need some smiling faces, welcoming people. You say, well, I don't play the bass. I can't preach. What could I do? You can be on Team Gateway. And the easiest way for you to join Team Gateway would be either after the service to jump over to the counter in the lobby where you'll see ushers, greeters, welcome team. You can look at those monitors and just sign up there, get the information there. It's super easy. We're asking you to do it on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday weekend. Just take a part of that weekend and serve all the way through so we can process all the people that will be here. Or if you don't want to go to the counter and you're a digital person, you can text SERVE to that phone number you see there. That's called text to SERVE. We will get your information. We will connect with you, send you a link to sign up. It's super cool. I mean, you should do it just, even if you're not going to serve, you should text to SERVE. I mean, just to get that text. It's so cool. You can also text to give. No, I really want you to serve. I do. I'm kidding around. We're going to have a lot of fun. It is fun to serve the Lord, and it's fun to be on Team Gateway. Let's reach people for Jesus. Amen? So will you help me? Will you join on the team? And some of you just need to join the team and then just stay on the team because you're good looking. You have a nice smile. You'd be a great greeter once a month, twice a month. You'd be a great usher. We could use your help, not only in those areas, but dozens of areas in the church. So bring what you have to the Lord and let him use you. And let's do this together. Let's inspire transformed. Let's win people to Jesus. If you agree with that, say, yep. All right, good. I like it. Lord, get their names, every one of them. All right, let's get into the message. Grab your teaching outline. This is message number 3. We're in a series called Unshakable Confidence, which you could only have in Christ. You can't get that in yourself. You could only have unshakable confidence in Christ. We're walking through, chapter by chapter, through Paul's letter to the Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, and we're pulling out the main themes of each chapter in a 6-week conversation that is being augmented by people in their life groups following their study guides, digging in. People are reading through Philippians with us. I encourage you to do that. Follow along. Come with us on this. And let's let the Bible speak to us and make us strong in Christ. We began with how we can have confidence in unsettling times, crazy times. We can be rock steady. And then Pastor Jordan did a great job last week with a message called, "You're Not Strong by Yourself." No one is strong by yourself. And he talked about chapter 2 of Philippians, which is so much about relationships and doing life together and unity in Christ. That's another way to become strong. You cannot be strong. You cannot be unshakable alone. It takes connecting with other people and being a part of something to really get that unshakable thing going in your life. This morning, I want to look at some keys to unshakable confidence. Excuse my voice. I'm okay. With your prayers, I'll get through this. I got the cruds. Forgive me. Am I allowed to say that on Sunday morning? Probably not. It just happened. I'm sorry. But today I want to talk about unshakable confidence in Christ alone. Would you say that important phrase with me? In Christ alone. Say it. I want you walking out of this room today thinking 3 things. In Christ alone. Boom. That's a home run right there. There's an old Pentecostal phrase. Pastor DeAndre, one of our worship leaders, was reminding us a few weeks ago in team prayer about the old Pentecostal phrase, "Won't he do it?" How many have ever heard that? Won't he do it? And I started to think about that phrase. That's a phrase that a person would say, you know, have you ever been shaken by something? You got bad news, something's upset you, something's on your mind, you're losing sleep, it's bugging you. And then suddenly you get this confidence, wait a minute, I've seen God do this for me before. I've needed housing before and God provided. I needed money before and God provided. And it's that phrase, won't he do it, is kind of a way of kind of saying God's going to do it again. So let's practice together. We may not all be from that background, but we can all say, won't he do it? Because that's the confidence that we can have every single day in a faithful God. And that's the confidence that Paul the Apostle was transmitting to us through the third chapter of Philippians. This is what Paul was carrying. He was in a jam. He was in jail, separated from family and friends, but there was something going on the inside of him like, won't he do it? God's got this. God is going to help me with this. And that's the unshakable confidence that I want us to focus on. Let's take a look at 11 verses in the third chapter that will really speak to your heart. As you just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, let the living word of God plant into you confidence. Here's what Paul says. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to stop right there and say to you that that sentence right there is the centerpiece of the entire book. This would be the theme verse. This is what Paul is saying. Life is crazy. All kinds of stuff goes on. But hold steady and keep rejoicing, because this book is about joy no matter what. He goes on and he says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. I'm coming for the dogs in a few minutes. I'm going after some dogs today. For we who worship by the Spirit of God, we are the ones who are truly circumcised or in covenant relationship with God. I was a member of the Pharisees, Paul says. They demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I had it. I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of, if I could paraphrase this, because of Christ alone. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through, say it with me, faith in Christ alone. Thank you. You're getting it. Let's keep going. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. These are the words of a man who understands in Christ alone, God's going to take care of it all. Christ alone, won't he do it? Christ alone, he'll get it done. And if I was to paint a pathway for us today, I could say so much about the third chapter of Revelation, but I want to get us walking down a path that leads us to a place of what we're calling unshakable confidence. That path would look like this. First, we would take this step. Step number one would be tap into unlimited joy by faith. Remember what he said. He said, I don't want you to lose your joy. He said, whatever's going on in your life, rejoice. The Passion Translation says it this way. My beloved, don't ever limit your joy. Don't fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus. I don't mind repeating what I've already written to you because it protects you. Paul starts with joy. And he says, don't set a limit for your joy. We do this, you know, all the time. We think we're only allowed to be so happy, and then we call it off. We don't give ourselves permission to really, truly be filled with joy because I think we often come from a lack mindset. We think, you know, God's only got so much joy, and there's only so much help available to God, and, you know, we don't want to impose on God, and we can't really be completely happy, so we settle for just being sort of happy sometimes. My wife, Kathy, was telling me yesterday about a man who tragically passed away a few months ago in another city, and one of our relatives is meeting with his wife, his widow, on a regular basis. Every week or every couple of weeks, they get together. And it's been months now, and she gave a good report to Kathy. She said, for the first time, this woman is smiling. She hasn't laughed in months. I understand the depth of pain, the things that people go through that would rob us of joy. But isn't it encouraging that Paul is talking about unlimited joy? He said, don't set any limits on your joy. You shouldn't have joy when you're in mourning. You shouldn't have joy when, you know, when you can't pay your rent. You shouldn't have joy when you come to church. After all, you should be serious. And we set all these joy limits, and then we wonder why our life is so boring and empty. It's because we've set artificial limits. What Paul is saying is there is unlimited joy available to us through Christ. Now, I like most unlimited environments. Okay, the one environment that's unlimited that I get a little uncomfortable in is unlimited food. I'm not safe around unlimited quantities of, like, where you could go back again and again and again to the dessert bar or whatever. I'm not good with that. That's a problem for me. I'm not safe there. But otherwise, unlimited is good. Like, you know, you pay a price, you get Netflix for $9.99 or whatever it is. You got unlimited video. I like that. Unlimited music, right? Whatever it is, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, you pay one price, you get all the music. Siri, play Aretha Franklin. And it just goes on forever, right? And so I'm good with that. I'm good with unlimited. I'm good with unlimited beverages. I like one price and you keep going back. Now we don't have that in the Gateway Cafe. You're going to pay if you go back. But I like that. And what Paul is saying is you don't have to set a limit. You can have one, and then you can have another, and then you can have another. It's unlimited. My question for you is, are you experiencing do you realize that a price has been paid for you? Do you realize it's already paid and there's no longer a limit on how happy you can be? So free yourself. Free yourself to receive everything that Jesus died to give you. Look at Christ paid the price for us to have unlimited joy. Get that, because it'll change your personality. Look at these verses. John 10:10. A thief, this is Jesus. He said, a thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in what? Abundance, unlimited. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. And then in John 15, just a few chapters later, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, I've told you all these things so that you can have the same joy I have. I want your joy to be the fullest joy. Now, here's my question for you. Are you living in joy? If you're not, it may be because you've set limits. In other words, you can only be happy if certain things happen. You can only be happy if you get out of jail. You can only be happy if you get a house with one more bedroom than the house you have now. You can only be happy if you get married or if your boss leaves you alone, then you can be happy. You can only be happy if Candace Tracy stops talking and dismisses, right? But all of that, all of it is deception. The truth is, no matter what is going on, Paul said, no matter what, I want you to rejoice. And he's credible when he says this to us because he says it from a prison cell. Now, nobody here in this room is in a prison cell. Nobody. You can rejoice right now and experience unlimited joy if you have Christ alone. Don't limit your joy in Christ. I think sometimes the way we limit our joy, well, two things I can think of that would limit our joy would be sin, because sin is something that takes joy away so fast. And this is why God wants us to, he said, don't touch certain things because it'll drain you, it'll break you, it's toxic, right? So we have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit to the best of our ability to shun sin, walk away from sin, and live a life that's separated unto Christ. But the other thing that will take your joy away is deception, wrong thinking. And this is where I think Paul goes after the dogs. He said, those dogs, they try to tell you that it's Christ plus something. Yes, I'm glad you raised your hand to receive Christ. Now you have to be circumcised or whatever the religious ritual of the moment or the group is. And every group has their religious rituals, and it weighs you down and strips you of your joy. I come from a generations of Pentecostal ministers, actually. And in the Pentecostal church, they had lots of rules. If any of you have been to Pentecostal churches, there were rules about how you had to be baptized. You could not be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You had to be baptized in some churches in the name of Jesus only, period. And if you didn't get that baptismal formula right, you weren't saved. The dogs will tell you you're not saved if, fill in the blank, if you're wearing a red dress, you're not saved. If you're a woman wearing makeup, you're definitely not saved. If you have a tattoo, you're not saved. If you have a piercing, you're not. People come up with every kind of, and how many funerals have I been to and I've wept with the family, and they'll say things like this to me and it breaks my heart. They'll say, I don't know if he's in heaven. He wasn't going to church. And I think, is it church that saves you? Or is it Christ alone? We put so much on other people. The dogs will tell you, yes, I'm glad you prayed to receive Christ, but now you got to jump through these hoops. You have to speak in tongues. Others will tell you, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. All these rules and regulations, and what Paul says, all of that is what's stepping on your joy air hose. That's what's shutting your joy down. All those, it's Christ who came to give you an abundant life. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're good. You're as holy, you're as righteous, you're as perfect as you're ever gonna need to be. And anything you need to do, if you come to church, that's great, but you don't come to church to get saved. Coming to church doesn't make you saved any more than standing in a garage makes you an automobile. You come to church because you're saved. You walk away from the red light district because you're saved. You're living a new life. You're living for Christ. You love him, and you have an entirely different motivation in your life. There's a joy that's available if we could shake the dogs off. The dogs that want to say it's Christ plus something. We need to shake that off because it's Christ alone. A third century man was anticipating death. Look at his words. This is a true historical document from the third century. Just before he died, this man wrote this. It's a bad world. An incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who've learned a great secret. They have found, what have they found? A joy that is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They just keep saying, won't he do it? They're masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. How many of you want to be a Christian? So you have a joy that's 1,000 times better than anything you left behind. That's the first thing. Tap into unlimited joy. Get your cup and say, more, please. Lord, I'm feeling empty today, but the price has been paid. I'm coming back. I need more joy. And you just receive the joy. And don't let the dogs strip you of your joy. Number two, you would take another step. It would be like this. Allow me to challenge you, please. I love you. I love you enough to challenge you in this area. Don't rely on your own identity. Paul said, the Amplified Version of verse 3, for we Christians put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. In other words, he said, what we are, our standing in the world, our identity has nothing to do with those things. What we are and who we are is in Christ alone. Our identity is him. Now, here's where I'm going to push back against culture just for a moment. We hear a lot about identity. We hear a lot about how a person identifies. I identify as this, I identify as that. There's gender identity. There is racial identity. There's economic identity. It's a very big, people are making a lot out of human identity. And to a point, I'm totally fine. I have Sicilian blood in me. I did the DNA. How many have done a DNA thing? It's kind of cool. It's interesting to know where you're from. And if there's any criminals in your background, that's good to know. You know? You know, you check your DNA, you find out a little bit about who you are, and there's something to God's creation of you. If you're a man, God created you to be a man. It's good to be a man. If you're a woman, if you're African, if you're European, whatever, those are all good things to understand, grab a hold of, and know. But that is not your ultimate identity. My question for you, is our natural identity the key? Or is there something more important? Because here's where Paul went with this. He said, you want to talk about DNA? I got DNA. I got Hebrew of Hebrews DNA. He said, tribe of Benjamin, baby. We were the bad boys. The Benjamites could throw spears and shoot arrows with their right hand or their left. They were warriors. Paul was, he understood ethnic pride. He understood Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a full-on, purebred, talk about pedigree. Talk about credentials. He had it. And you just go and study the life of Pharisees, and boy, they were strong into the genealogy. They knew who descended from who, and this guy begat this guy, and they had the DNA family line down. And here's where Paul came to. One day he met Jesus. And he said, from that day on, it has never been about Hebrew of Hebrews. It's been about Christ alone. Here's where I want to challenge you. Rejoice in your manhood if you're a man. Rejoice in your blackness, whiteness, brownness. Rejoice in that. Receive that. Own that. That's yours. But that is not the ultimate identifier of you. Your value does not come because you're a man or a woman. or because of a sexual preference or a lack of a sexual preference or persuasion or that is not what defines you. Christ alone is what defines you. One of the unfortunate things about going too far in the identity thing is that it ultimately breaks us up rather than unifying us. Then now it becomes men against women. And it becomes old against young and black against white. And everybody's got their demands and their grievances and their hurts and their beefs and their and all of that. Not saying that there aren't legitimate issues to be dealt with, but you don't heal it by separating and fragmenting. The only hope for us to be healed, for me to stand next to a brown man, black man, white woman, whatever, you know, the only hope for us to be one is if we understand there's a DNA that has transplaced my DNA. And that DNA of Christ is in you and in you and in you, and that means we are family. So we are not joined together. We can't be joined together on the basis of color. It's impossible. Just try to get men and women getting along. Forget all the colors and the ages. Can we just deal with gender? Keep it real simple. The only hope is if Christ brings us together. Because I don't have, please don't ask me to get in touch with my feminine side. I don't have a feminine side. Not one gene in my body is female, not one. I'm male from head to toe. That's the way God created me. I'm fine with that. And women are very different, which is good. But wow, are they different? And so how do you... You can't concentrate on your differences and end up one. What you have to do is concentrate on what you have in common. And what we have in common as followers of Jesus Christ is supernatural DNA. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4. Be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him. You have supernatural DNA in you. Whoever's in Christ is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away, and what? All things become new. So you're still a guy, you're still a gal, you're still white, you're still black, whatever it is. But understand that there is something greater that defines you. And that is the supernatural DNA of heaven. And if you want to be confident walking into a job interview, fathering a child, taking on a challenge, working your way through a sickness or an addiction, if you want to have unshakable confidence, you get this in your mind. Supernatural DNA is on the inside of you. And that makes you pretty bulletproof. Pretty capable in life. This is why Paul said, I can do all things because I'm a man. Is that what he said? I can do all things because I'm Sicilian, because I'm Jewish. What did he say? I can do all things through Christ. That's my DNA. That's my identity. Let me move quickly to the third thing here, and then we're going to pray together. Third step is to stay focused on Christ alone. If we were to go back and read this passage here, Paul said, I once thought about these things that were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. I throw my degrees away. It's garbage. I don't need it. Comparatively, it's Jesus. It's Christ alone. counting as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He goes on, I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith. How do we get saved? It's not by Christ plus church attendance, circumcision, Bible reading. That's not what saves you. It's Christ alone. Get that straight, right? I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power. Watch this. The power that raised him from the dead. What Paul says is, I'm focused on Jesus. And that's how I do life. That's how I have joy. That's where my confidence comes from. I'm not focused. My career is important. My family is important. All these things. But my main focus is Christ alone. I want to ask you, what are you focused on? Well, I'm focused on my career. I'm focused on getting married. That's my focus right now. Let me challenge you. Let Christ be your focus. The reason focus is important is because it determines your future. Your focus determines your future. I'll never forget a guy named Chris who was in our church riding a motorcycle and he wrecked it. He walked in, his arm in a sling, he was all banged up. Chris, what happened? I was riding my bike. He said, Pastor, they tell you, the first thing they teach you when you're learning to ride a motorcycle is keep your eyes, keep your focus on where you want the bike to go. Keep looking at the road and the bike just kind of goes. But he said, I was going around a corner and there was a construction ditch and I was nervous because of the rocks and the ruts and the conditions. And he said, I started looking at the ditch instead of the road. And he said, just like they told me, I went where my eyes were, that's where I ended up. The reason focus is so crucial for you is because if you shoot too low, if your focus is on even good things, and that's as far as it goes, your marriage, your house, your if that's your focus, you never get Christ. Let Christ be, and what did he say? Seek ye first. Come on, what is it? The kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added to you. Stay focused on you. Boy, I was in Proverbs the other day and this verse hit me. I'm coming to a close. Thank you, Bobby. I am. You're good. Just, there's nobody like Bobby. I love this man. What was I saying? What? Oh yeah, Proverbs, thank you. Put it up, please. This thing hit me like a cannonball. Maybe this is a prophetic word for you today. Maybe this verse will hit you like it hit me. There's so many distractions. So many things going on. Here's what the Lord says. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out the straightest path that you can for your feet and stay on that safe path. I'm praying about it. I don't know what to do. Stay on the safe path. Don't be a fool. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil, because sin will take you somewhere you don't want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Stay focused. Get your eyes off her. Get your eyes off him. Get your eyes off that house, that car. God has houses and cars, no problem. But you stay focused on Jesus Christ. And your life will be boundless and you will have unshakable confidence. Things will come and things will go and some days will be good and some days will be bad, but no matter what, you'll be rejoicing because your eyes are on the prize. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so you learn to live like this. Lord, I'm short. I'm ready for my refill. And when you're shaken, you just remember that little Pentecostal phrase, Won't he do it? This God who's faithful, he's got me. If I stay focused on him, I have no problems. This is confidence, guys. This is what we need. This is what we live for. Put the last screen that's got the last 3 points, because all the high C's in here today are gonna stop me in the hallway and say, what was the fill-ins? Take a picture of it. There it is. Paul said, I'm focused on Christ, being one with him. Paul said, I'm focused on just receiving his righteousness by faith. The minute I try to earn it, I've lost my focus. I'm coming back to, it's righteousness by faith. And then I want to focus on knowing him. The last thing is this. You want unshakable confidence? Then grab a hold of this. The one who rose from the dead lives in you. When you have resurrection power, what Paul was talking about, you're pretty bulletproof. You can handle the job. You can handle parenting. You can handle the boss, the neighbor, the issue. Bow your heads, everybody. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for my beautiful church family, all our friends and family here today, people watching online. It really can work, Lord. We really can put our total focus on you, not be defined by anything above you, not be filled with joy by anything beyond you. It's just all about Christ. And that's what gives us confidence in life. Lord, I am asking right now in this room for a fresh baptism of joy as we lift our cups to you, Lord. Some people in this room are going through it. It's real. I'm not making fun of it. There's real issues. But Lord, we're lifting our cup to you right now. And we're saying we need a fresh filling, a fresh filling. Thank you for the unlimited resources of joy, Lord. In fact, I just want to pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're just running low on joy, I want you just to lift a hand and put a cup in your hand and just lift it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready for a refill. Go ahead, just do it right there. I need joy, Lord. I need joy. Yeah. Just receive it right now, because there's plenty where that came from. And he'll fill you. Lord, I pray for a filling of joy. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Put your hands down. Before we close the service, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to make sure that it's in Christ alone that every person who wants to trust and be saved, who wants to be forgiven of their sins, cleansed and made new, I want to make sure you put your trust in Christ alone here and now. You can have the assurance of faith. I want to lead you to Christ. I want to pray for you for a miracle to happen in your life. I would never embarrass you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to pray for you. If you would say, Pastor David, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I'm away from God. I need Jesus bad. Lift your hand right where you are. Just Christ alone. Just lift it up right where you are. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back. 3, 4. Thank you in the back. I need Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. I'm at a point in my life where I can't do it anymore by myself. It's only in him. 6 people. Father, I thank you for these 6 and Lord, many others probably watching online, maybe in the cafe. Let a deep assurance of faith come to them through Christ alone. Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit to live for you, Lord, and to be that brand new creation. Lord, we all receive that spiritual DNA transfusion that makes us new in Christ. Bless them as they serve you, Lord, in Jesus' name. There are 3 in the first service and 6 or 7 that I knew about in this service. Can we thank the Lord for 9 people giving their lives to Jesus today? We're going to close this service out in just 2 minutes. For those of you that did raise your hand, we have a gift we want to give you. That same welcome desk in the lobby where you'll see we have a gift that we want to give you. The card that you heard about earlier in the service says, I've decided. If you'll fill that card out now, let us know. I'd like to know what you decided. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Give your life to Christ. Fill that out. Take it to the team in the lobby. say, I just prayed, what's my gift? And they'll give you some good stuff. We're gonna rejoice with you. And then speaking of that lobby, in just a minute, Pastor John's gonna come after we give. He's gonna dismiss us in prayer. And then those of you that can, go to the lobby and connect. Become a part of that choir. Become a part of the Team Gateway thing for the Resurrection Weekend. And then just stay on with us. We'll let you stay on after, all right? Serve, it'll be fun, all right? I love you guys very, very much. Let's put the prayer up and let's all say the prayer and then we're gonna worship. Let's say it together. Father God, thank you for your faithfulness. Lord Jesus, you're all I need. I wanna know you more. I wanna know and live through your power in my life. Today I trust in you alone. I know you are filling my cup with all I need and you will do it again and again. I gratefully receive this by faith in Christ. Amen. Let's worship. Let's worship.
Thank you for that word, Father. We receive it, God. We receive it, Lord Jesus. And he who came in power, he will come again. He who heals the sick, won't he move?
Thank you for that word. Just brings confidence to us in God. Worship. Wow, we're going to end with an announcement. First, the Healing Center is here this afternoon, and it's a special one. It's a special one because if you come this afternoon at 3 o'clock through those doors, you'll be able to get all three ministries personally. You'll be prayed for, physical healing, spiritual freedom, and your heart to be healed of, whether it's memory issues or emotions. And you'll also get a prophetic word. All three will happen today. So we want to invite you to that. And are you ready for a blessing? Just put up your blessing antennas. Let the Holy Spirit anoint you. I bless you with unshakable confidence in your salvation in Jesus' name. I bless you with unshakable confidence in your healing and spiritual health in Jesus' name. I bless you with unshakable confidence in your personal calling in Christ. I bless you with unshakable confidence in your spiritual stature in Christ. And I bless you with unshakable confidence and the joy of the Lord in the calling of God, in the kingdom of God, for God's purposes for you in Christ Jesus. If you receive that, say amen. 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 God bless you. There are people up here that will minister to you. Team Gateway out there, and 3:00 this afternoon. God bless you.